100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. How about some weekly challenge? It's Sunday, you know, and on Sunday, topic goes up, we wait a week, bunch of people send in stories, we have some fun. Well, you get all the fun. I've got to drag and drop and click and ramble. Oh, at least I'm getting my laundry done. Tea. What? Oh, I should get started? Okay, well, the first story is by Jeffrey. Let's go ahead and listen.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with a pair of stories on the topic of underwear. My first story is simply called Underwear. Society seems to be of two minds about undergarments. On the one hand, various pieces of clothing have nearly gone the way of the dodo. The girdle has virtually disappeared, though its descendants live on in the form of various body-shaping fabrics. The slip, too, is an increasing rarity, and stockings have started their long decline. On the other hand, other undergarments seem to have come out to play. The exposed bra strap, proudly on display over a tank top, with a peekaboo of a thong. Young men may be the worst offenders, with pants sagging to highlight the boxers below. Underwear carries its prefix for a reason. Keep it concealed, Miley. This story is called Commando. Bill enjoyed going commando. He liked the unconfined feel of his nether regions floating freely in his pants. True, he faced certain issues, that ugly zipper incident, or the time he bought itchy wool pants and scratched his way through an unsuccessful job interview. On the whole, however, he liked to think his genitals appreciated their freedom. Bill's thinking took a turn, however, at that fateful Christmas party in his apartment building. It seemed as though the whole building showed up at once. The room was hot and very crowded. As Bill tried to squeeze through the crowd, he brushed by Jenny Compton from apartment 7B. The unfortunate timing of the erection, combined with an unladylike shriek from Jenny and the pummeling Bill received from her boyfriend, was enough. From then on, he was a Fruit of the Loom man.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I just upgraded to Audacity 2.0.4, and I did a drag and drop from my folder into the project. And guess what? The window vanished. It says it recovered my project, but, oh, this morning is going to be interesting. I think I'm going to save my project after every little change. So, if you're running Audacity on a Macintosh, stick to 2.0.3. A little tip from your friends here at the Weekly Challenge. Hello, Mist. She just jumped up on the table, and her butt's in the way of the window. Yes, I see your furry butt. Okay, how about the next story? Or bunch of stories? That's right, he's back. It's Thomas from way up there. There, in Squim Bob Way, somewhere up the... Well, anyway, I'll let him take over for a bit. Here's Thomas, and welcome back.
During initiation rites, we all swore that we'd wear our underwear on the outside of our trousers. We pledged that we would dare to be different, as we were all members of the Madonnas of Clallam County and on the advisory board for the Big Bonsai Club. Our hair is clipped short and facial hair is limited to neatly trimmed Van Dykes. The men are similarly dressed and adorned. Today we were asked to participate in a centennial celebration for the city, so we're planning for the event, designing the float, and auditioning the women applying for the support committee. Jeb got several days of wear out of his underwear. Day one, fly forward, right side out. Day two, flying back, right side out. Day three, flying back, inside out. And day four, flying front, inside out. Jeb was clever, and this little trick kept him out of the army in the mid-60s and assured him a good seat on the bus and light rail. He's experimenting with undershirts and socks now and writing a little Kindle how-to book on conserving resources and shrinking his carbon footprint. Jeb teaches ecology classes at the local community college. The first time I got into a girl's knickers, I was 9. The panties belonged to my cousin. I had taken them off the clothesline, smuggled them into the bathroom where I put them on. I squeezed into them, and although they put pressure on my guys, they felt wonderful. I used Mom's Polaroid to take picture in the big mirror, but in my inflamed state, I left the photo on the sink. My aunt found it, but didn't say anything. She made some double entendre comments at dinner and sang, "I enjoy being a girl," during dessert. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was the morning six of us gave poor Nancy Looper a super wedgie. We pulled her grannies up so high that we were able to hang her on the doorknob of the gym. She was stuck there until the bell rang. So when the next gym class came down the hall, they were greeted with Nancy's display. We were all charged with assault, and Nancy was never the same after the incident. She walked with an odd gait and never had children, eventually suing our families and the school district for millions. I offer these bits of nonsense to all blue noses, creeps, and windbags. All my stories about underwear are ripe, as Jeb's underwear, for examination by psychologists and psychiatrists, and you're welcome to examine them and comment on my affliction. I've heard them all, so unless you have something new to offer or you found a new entry in the DSM-5 that's a good match for my diagnosis and classifications, then you can eat my shorts. I'm not paranoid. There's no need to be. I'm content knowing where your family lives and how to hack into your medical records.
Welcome back, Thomas. And it doesn't matter a bit whether you can hack into my medical records. All you'll see is the fact that I'm crazy and I have a pretty bad cough. That's never going to go away. Ha 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 ha. Oh, really? No. Thank goodness you're back. I missed you. Everybody missed you. Oh, what? We go from Thomas to Tom? Ooh, that's kind of kinky. Oh, well. Let's show what Tom's got. No, I'm not going to make any boxers or brief strokes. No.
Hello, my people. Tom here, and I've got two stories. First one, I see France. Growing up Catholic, I had no idea the amount of magic underwear in the world. Mormon, Muslim, Sikh, Shiite, Levantine, Hindi subsect. If you count the Hare Krishna's hand in the bag, priest of vestments, altar boys got that starched white baby doll frock. Infants get a baptismal gown despite gender. Yet none of these are daily foundation wear. But Tom, these items are part of religious practice. Referring to them as magic underwear? How un-PC of you. You're at a site where characters end up with firearms up their butts. Get real. Closest Catholics get to magic underwear are brown scapulars. Believe me, after 3 months, close to that, you don't want to be. And story two, a continuation of the story, A Well-Defined Relationship, part 14. The elevator took them to the top of Wind Tower. Sitting at a sizable oak desk was the man himself, but behind him was a Citizen Kane size image of John Wayne from the film The Green Berets. "Oh," said Bannister. "Yes," said Dinomod. "I have a proposition," said Wynne as he glided from the desk past the Wayne altar, prominently displaying the triple presence of the Duke, to the center of the room. Wynne, all 4'3", was wearing a pair of True Grit silk boxer shorts. "The prophet needs an angel. Interested?" Bannister eyed the door.
You know, one of these days I'm going to have the topic of Adele, just to see if he changes his background music. No, okay, I won't do that. Oh, thank you, Tom. And two stories. Everybody's going for the multiple thing. In fact, I hear that Richard is about to do it. Four multi-story storytellers in a row. How exciting. Here's Richard.
Good morning. It's me again. Which presumably means that you're you again. Which also presumably means that everything's fine. So let's get on with the stories. This one's called Captured. Sometime during the night, George slipped into a fitful sleep, but was soon roused a short time later as the truck came to a shuddering halt. Blearily, he stumbled to his feet, then jumped in fright as the doors of the container crashed violently open. "Put your hands where we can see them, and don't move a muscle!" George peered towards the doorway, eyes adjusting to the light. "Do it! Now!" As his vision cleared, George almost soiled his underwear, as he found himself looking straight into the muzzle of a gun. Slowly, he raised his arms and waited. This next one is called Gym Kit. I used to hate gym lessons at school, but believable excuses were hard to come by, and Mr. Taylor, the gym teacher, had heard them all before. It was no good forgetting your gym kit, either. Taylor would give you the benefit of the doubt on the first occasion, but if it happened again, you did the lesson in your underwear. There were rarely any repeat offenders. Of course, he wouldn't get away with it these days. The first suggestion of lessons in your underwear, he'd no doubt be arrested. Kids today, they don't know how good they've got it. And my next story is called Life Philosophy. Harry always liked to live life to the full. Bungee jumping, extreme sports, and wild partying marked his youth, all underpinned by his philosophy of live fast, die young, leave clean underwear. That's how it was. However, despite his every effort, he singularly failed to die young, and now that life could no longer be considered in any way fast, in fact it had slowed to a definite crawl since the rheumatism had set in, his wild partying days were well and truly behind him. Even so, he clung to his philosophy, desperately hoping daily that he'd leave clean underwear. And my final story is along the same kind of theme. It's called Hit by a Bus. Mother always said, "You want to make sure you're wearing clean underwear. What if you get hit by a bus?" I used to wonder what would mortify her most. Me getting flattened by a bus, or the coroner's report revealing I'd been wearing day-old Y-fronts. Fortunately, the chances of being hit by a bus are pretty slim, and I could afford to take the odd risk on the laundry front. All the more ironic that my mother should be run over at the bus station. I know what you're wondering. You'll just have to wait for the coroner's report. And that, folks, is that. Probably just as well. See you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And I am me, and you are you, and we are all together. You see? It's the Beatles. They'll never, ever, ever leave us. Ever. Ever. Did anyone else find the latest episode of Night Vale kind of disappointing? I think it was the fact that it was dialogue. Really, Cecil needs to just ramble, and then maybe throw in some stuff. But that dialogue, it just, I don't know, it didn't work. Way too much inside baseball, I think. I don't know, once you get to know the whatever, it's still good. It's still good. It's still enjoyable. It's still worth your time. Welcome to Night Vale. And Beware the Hairy Mango. And Hooting Yard. Lots of places out there. If only I had a website where I had a page on that website that lists all the ones I recommend to waste your time with. I think there's more than 168 hours of content a week on those sites, in fact. You'll be listening to them for the rest of your life. Which, if you're doing it on a bicycle and you don't hear that truck coming up from behind you, it will come true. Other things that will come true? Muncie will leave a bunch of Legos out for you to step on when you wake up. Let's go ahead and step on them. They feel fantastic.
Pip, pip, Major! I do trust the week's been kind to you. Ah, yes, just as I'd been led to believe it would be. But enough of the chittery-chattery what's-the-mattery. Let's sally forth and dive right in with this week's story.
Naked, by Christopher Monroe. Buy the fanciest underwear you like. If it makes you feel beautiful, I entirely endorse it. I will, however, say for the record, nothing looks better than naked. Assuming that you look good naked. Which you probably do. In my experience, most people look 30% better naked than they think. So even if you're worried about your appearance in the boudoir, you likely needn't be. So cast off your clothes, free yourself, throw them on the fire, you'll never need them again, and live a life natural and free. Me? No, I shan't be joining you. My body's funny looking.
Rookin' Escalator is a book, a podcast, and a reference my old-timey Edwardian gentleman character wouldn't understand. And I do so love to tweet at Munzee Munzee. By which I mean I love to tweet. And my tweets are at Munzee Munzee, not that I actually tweet it myself. But you likely knew what I'd meant already, didn't you, old bean? Yes, I'd thought you would. Until next week, Major. Until next week.
That's horribly confusing. But it sounds good. Thank you, Muncie. You know, I just thought of something. Australia has a new government. That's right. They got rid of the old one and they put in a new one. And then one day, they'll get rid of this one and they'll put in another new one. And they'll just keep putting in new ones, one after the other, although a lot of them are made out of recycled parts that some localities keep sending the same jerks back and forth to wherever they send them to. Is it called Jerkville? I'm not sure. Lots of countries do this. Some of them just keep sending the same people over and over again. That's because they don't get to vote, and those people just keep going over and over. Or maybe they never leave. And they rule, and they have scepters, or they have shoes that they pound on podiums. And other times, there's a whole lot of money that some very few people spend, but they try to convince a lot of people to spend a lot of money that winds up going to, well, you know. It's all crazy, really. Makes you want to lose hope. Me? I never had hope to begin with. Speaking of hope, why don't we just walk over to Cliff and say, "Hey, Cliff, what are you reading? Oh, you wrote that? Ooh, can we watch?" By the way, Audacity just crashed again. Isn't that great?
Dave knew his wife didn't like country music, so he was surprised to hear her say that she wanted to see his favorite singer when she came to town on tour. "Honey, I'm so glad you're expanding your horizons. You're going to love this show. She's not just country. She has an amazing range, and when she sings, you can just feel the emotion in the air around you. It is truly amazing." Lisa explained that she hadn't said that she wanted to see Carrie Underwood soon, but that she wanted to see Dave carry the underwear to their room.
Ha 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 ha, that would actually be a better show than Carrie Underwood. Oh, sorry, what? Oh, hi. Thank you, Cliff. Actually, I kind of like some of her songs. Not many, though. I mean, come on, it's Carrie Underwood. I don't watch any of those award shows. You know, the weekly award shows that they have. The country music this, and then the video music that, and then the MTV this, and the Billboard that, and all these people. All they do now is just go up and give each other awards and interrupt each other. Speaking of interrupting,
hello, little Misty. You are such a little sweetie. Yes, you are. I'm going to pick you up, and then I'm going to put you down on the floor. So now you can jump back up.
Oh, are we done yet? Oh, no. Far from it. In fact, we've got Lizzie coming up. That's right. Lizzie, the writer.
The wide assortment of underwear made the store quite successful. The prices were expensive, but no one worried about that until Mr. von Drack, the store owner, came up with the idea of having musical panties and the male counterpart musical boxers. It would have been fun, too, to own one of those. The problem was the musical taste. Chopin's Funeral March was a commercial flop, and when Mozart's Lacrimosa was added for a tempting pay one, take two option, the store became eerily empty. Mr. von Drack didn't understand it. He wore them all the time, and he loved them. And so did Mrs. von Drack. Okay, so this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye. You see, that's a quick and simple plug. Have you gone to her site yet? You should. You should go right now. You should go to everybody's site that's listed in the show notes. Over there at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, people ask me why I don't have that blog roll of all the people who have participated ever in the weekly challenge. And I say, I'm just going to link the folks who are active, who are a part of the community, who are with us now, the ones who are striving each and every week. I'll put them up in the show notes. And for those who have wandered away and never come back, screw them. Actually, when Thomas was away, his link wasn't up. And then, when he came back, the screw them order was gone. You see how that works? You're only loved for as long as you're here. And you're not missed. Well, actually, you are missed. Some people will miss you. I may even miss you, but I won't admit it. Speaking of people that just won't admit things, here's Zach, man. I wonder what he's not going to admit. Let's all guess in the comments. I think it's the fact that he's not good at stealing second base. Very few people are good at second base stealing. They slide head first, feet first. Sometimes they go sideways and just do a barrel roll. Those are the crazy ones, but they make the highlight reel.
Are you wearing that tie? Don't you see it on me? At least our children have good fashion sense. Yes, dear. Are we ready to go? Asked Connie. Everything is ready except I left our son in his room to change. I will check on him. Zach walks down the stairs and says, You really need to talk to your son. My son? He's always your son or our son when he isn't doing anything problematic. Why? He is looking through his closet and drawers, refusing to finish getting dressed because he can't find clothes that match his underwear.
Ah, the conversations that Zach Mann has in his head, they're like an opera. Only, well, not really. Thank you, Zach Mann. Hey, guess who's the worst team in baseball? I'll give you a hint. It's the Houston Astros.
Now, they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. They had six farm teams, six minor league teams affiliated with them in after-season play. Isn't that great? The minor leagues have better players than the major leagues. That's just wonderful. In a few years, they'll all be traded away to other teams, willing to pay for them. Ha 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 ha. Isn't that great? Now, they announce the call-ups. That's when, in September, they say, "Oh, you minor league players, we want to see you in the big leagues." Well, the truth is, they have enough scouts and people in the minor leagues to watch their performance. They really don't care to make them waste their time to spend just a month in Houston. Ha 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 ha. And they don't want to pay them more, either. So you're not going to see George Springer in Houston for a long, long time. Or John Singleton. You know, the ones that people have been wanting to see all season long. The great prospects. The ones that are the future of the team? Well, they certainly aren't the present. Let's all pay $200 for seats to watch them lose to the Yankees at the end of the year. I don't think so. Oh, did I get off on a rant? I'm sorry. Maybe I should play Serendipity Story. Would that help? Okay, here you go.
He denied it, of course. Refused to admit he was having an affair. So I was forced to play my trump card. I asked him about the naughty underwear he'd been buying. What underwear? He protested. So I told him. The G-strings, lacy bras and stockings, and none of them in my size. Eventually, he caved in and admitted to his indiscretions. How could you have possibly known? He whimpered. I suggested next time he should do his shopping out of town. That way, he might avoid picking a store where my best friend happened to be. The sales assistant.
Thank you, Serendipity. Hey, I sent out an announcement over that Second Life group thing to ask people a question. If you're a member of that Second Life group thing and want to let your opinion known on when... No, I shouldn't give it away. Only those people who are in that Second Life group thing have a valid opinion on this because they've shown how much they care by being a part of it. And those who aren't a part of it, well, I really don't care about their opinion on this particular subject. But then, it won't affect you if you're not a part of that group. Is that passive-aggressive enough for you? No? Well, I can be more passive-aggressive. How about a gigantic, huge file of cool storytelling from Sing? Know what's even better? He's going to be putting together his own site that's going to be containing all of these so that you don't have to listen to all of this rambling, like what I'm doing now, flapping the meat and pushing air through it. And... well, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be cool. That way, you can go there and get all trippy and stuff. He may even give advice on storytelling. I never give advice, except, keep writing, keep reading, can I go to sleep? You look pretty. You see, that's my advice. Look pretty. Read. Write. And let me get to sleep. No, actually, he's going to put those up there, so it's going to be an archive of stuff with his stories clean, unadulterated by rambling, or whatever. Although he could ramble. He could start rambling and turning into me. Or he can invite me as a guest rambler. No, really, don't do that. You don't want to ruin your chances. Well, anyway, he's going to have that up at some point, and everyone strongly encourage him in the comments. He's going to still be here. I mean, if he leaves me here, abandoning me to the fates of you, oh my God, that would be scary. Sing Stories. Story. Well, it's part 4 or 5.
The Lakshmi Plot by Chris Mooney Singh. Part 4. When he tried to visualize some place of refuge, he remembered a village bordering the vast estuarine mangrove Sundarbans. Here they had always practiced natural conservation, fishing with a large gauge net, leaving one third of the honeycomb for the bees, only cutting wood from the upper parts of certain trees. Those trips during childhood had been some of his happiest memories, although the place was not without its challenges and lurking dangers. Bim looked at the position of the morning sun and started to pole with fresh vigour. In reality, however, it was the rapid current that was taking him. They glided past plastic flotsam and a bloated cow corpse tethered to a post. A pair of leopard print underwear like a slingshot hung from a horn. He thought of his own drowned beasts. Devika and daughter were recovering inside the shelter. She ran her tongue over the ulcers on her lip. The goat was nearby. Squatting, she forced it up, positioned the cooking pot, wet her hands over the side to wash the teats, and coaxed the flow. Soon, the vessel was half full. Despite thirst, she offered it to her husband, but he nodded to her. "You drink first." It was comforting to swallow the creamy milk. How long had it been since she had taken any nourishment? They had lost everything, and yet the boat and the goat had saved them. She lay on her side to feed Priya, but felt something sharp. It was the shoulder bag she was still wearing. The brass Devi was inside. Her mother-in-law must have slipped it in before they had jumped. Thus the old woman had passed on the responsibility of family worship. So she sprinkled some drops of milk over the goddess. Not a proper milk bath, but something. Like this, they travelled. Beam's driving instinct was to put the scene of drowned villages and bloating corpses behind. He also feared other survivors turning scavenger, and thus told himself the boat was too small to hold more. "Keep the goat out of sight," he whispered to Devika. With it, they might survive. There was no end to the relentless line of wading people. It was cruel, but he ignored their passing pleas for help. One goat's milk didn't go very far. It would be days before the waters would subside, and sadly, many would die of dysentery and typhoid. Yes, Bim Das had known floods right from childhood. Everyone had. Millions existed between calm and chaos. Then once at least a decade, nature wiped the slate of the land clean of human habitation. Now mega-cyclones were coming with greater frequency. He'd read in the papers about climate change. The disaster pendulum was swinging to each extreme with greater force. A rising flood of diseases here, a retributive drought happening somewhere south, west or north. Everything was disturbed. Bapuji had always harped on about respecting nature. "If you are going to live by the river, make friends with the crocodiles." They moved through the wasteland toward that part of the inland delta system where his uncle lived. Bim didn't want to entertain the possibility that the fishing village was no more. Instead, he blithely pictured days spent with otters. Kept on leashed ropes, Sikhs would be released to scare fish between spoonboat and riverbank into the net. During the work, the whiskered creatures would be thrown tidbits, then finally a portion of the spoils would be dropped, wriggling, onto a metal tray for them to feast upon. Now, he desperately hoped Varun Das' uncle and his river dogs were alive. Finally, he found the tributary at low tide, leading to where the village that should have been was like a fish skeleton picked clean. The caged otters, cooking fires and fish drying in long rows were gone. The storm surge had done its work. He felt like weeping, not just for the destroyed life of his uncle and family, but because part of his childhood had been washed away. For the first time, Bim felt frightened. He had dragged his family too far in the naive belief that this place would weather the storm. Across the tidal inlet was only wild jungle. He was stepping over the feral edge of his world. The Sundarbans, the world's biggest mangrove forest, a braided delta of 100 islands, had long been the Gangetic Plain's shock absorber against cyclones. Without it, the region would have been bitten back into the Bay of Bengal. Here, the low tide salt filtration routes rose up from sediment like a killing field of pointed spikes, helping the mangroves breathe. When the boat was tied, Bim wanted to survey the island. Devika said, "Don't leave us." So they both got down, Devika with baby and milk pot, Bim dragging the goat. Negotiating carefully where to step barefoot between spikes, he saw pug marks in mud. Fear and nausea punched him. He suppressed it, stepped into the trees with the right foot first, just as he would later leave with the left, something he'd learned as a boy. It was looking familiar. He'd been here with Varundas' uncle, smoking out savage bees and cutting honeycombs from branches in past seasons. At the top, a rough thatched temple had weathered the storm on stilts, housing its image of Bono Bibi, the goddess of the forest. Now he needed to meet the shaman and get his blessings. Bim found him perched up in his hut. Bim was relieved someone familiar was still here.
"So, you are back," said the sadhu, his eyes screwed up like raisins, squinting down at them.
"Baba," Bim Das said, "this is my wife and child."
"Son, this time is bad."
"We lost everything, Baba. Our land, my mother. Have you seen Varun, uncle?"
The sadhu went silent. What did he know?
"I saw the fishing village," Bim said. "Washed away."
"They are gone," is all the holy man would say.
"Let's go," he said, and climbed down the rungs. Made of bamboo, this structure, like the temple's legs, had resisted many cyclones and surges. Or was it the holy man's power? This flattened ridge was the highest and safest place. All climbed to the temple level and bowed in turn to Bono Bibi's idol. On the left was Dakshin Rei, the tiger god, and Shah Jungli, Bono Bibi's club-wielding warrior brother, was on her right. Then the old man prepared to do his ritual. "You have something to offer, mother?"
he asked. Devika passed over the pot, swishing with the last of the milk. The shaman lit incense, poured milk into a brass vessel and mixed in white round discs of sugar wafers known as patashas. He placed it before Bono Bibi and prayed. O Mother of the Forest, we are nothing, mosquitoes, dumb stones in the mud. Despite this, protect your lowly sons like Bhim Das and his family. Keep them safe in your womb for the full term and place them there again and again. Do not leave their side, Ma. O Ma, please listen. With that, he offered the milk to the goddess and entourage, and then to Bhim and Devika, who wet her finger for Priya to suck. You've been listening to The Lakshmi Plot by Chris Muni Singh. Join me next week for the final installment.
Has your mind been blown? If it hasn't, listen again. No, really, everybody's mind should be blown by now. $50, same as downtown. Oh, sorry. I'm going to get an incense stick out. No, I'm not doing drugs. I just like incense. We get it every time we go to the Renaissance Fair, and it's been a few years since we've gone, but I still have so much freaking incense. And I try to remember to light it every at least one stick a day, so that it's like 365 sticks of incense. No, the incense pile keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't understand why. I like the smell of incense. It's probably giving me throat cancer, but still, I like the smell of incense. Oh, did I say thank you, Singh? Thank you for blowing our minds, Singh. You see, you have to be courteous. Ooh, somebody's asking me about that thing that I posted to the group. And what is this? Oh, God. Blah, 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 blah. Take a note of the new something, whatever. I have no idea what this is about. I'll just accept it. And then I'll close it. You see? That's simple. Oh, we need to get to Stephen the Nuclear Man? Okay, hold on. Stephen, come on up to the microphone, and let's hear you. Was it Dragon Con this weekend? You go to all the cons, I don't. I'm gonna stay home.
I hold my hands near the fireplace, warming them from iced numbness. I miss my long johns, the bright red wool ones with the fold-down back flap. John laughs. Mine were footies, bright red, but no flap. Rufus nods, unwraps a bit of meat from a red cloth sack, slides it onto his stick, and holds it over the fire. Yup, I got ones kind of like that for my kids. He shuts up then, sudden-like. You listen to the hiss-pop of the cooking meat, the crackling fire, the restless infected wandering outside. You don't ask about Rufus's kids. We aren't hungry.
That's kind of creepy. Perfect! Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. That's how I want my Sundays to be. Oh, I just got the laundry switched over. Isn't that great? There's nobody in there still, but half the machines are taking up because people leave their crap in there overnight and for weeks at a time. It makes you wonder if they've been killed and their clothes have been abandoned. I hope that happens to me. Abandoned clothes. That could be a story. Or a topic. No, not happening. What is happening, though, is that I'm going to put Norval Joe up to the microphone. That's right. It's his turn. Let's just toddle on through this and make like it's a marathon. Have we hit the wall yet? No? Good.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 385 with a prompt of underwear. Underwear. Oh, underwear. Here's my story. He leaned on the second floor railing, looking down on the heads of shoppers below. It had been years since he last visited the local shopping mall and felt even more out of place than he had before. When I was a kid, if we wanted to be rebellious, we went without underwear, he grumbled. Now it seems that's all they wear. Dad, I found what I need for the wedding. Can you come in and pay for it? His daughter asked from the entrance to Victoria's Secret. Blood drained from his face as he asked, Do I have to? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norville Joe, and congratulations on your daughter's wedding. Hey, where are the photos? Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's what gets me into trouble. You know what else gets me into trouble? Playing Danny's stories. Which I love, whether it's angry or ranting or angry and ranting. He shows that we're all still alive and that we care. We care so much. Here's Danny. Come on. Let him have it.
Oh, good morning. Danny Dwyer here, and hello, hello. The natives are restless. The computer has developed an annoying hum, and I got a sleeping dog on my lap. So it's a perfect time to dish out this week's weekly challenge, or my entry of it. Weekly Challenge 385, Underwear. What is that under there? I shouted. Underwear, my roommate screamed back, concerned. Ha! I made you say underwear, I shouted back. My roommate, not amused, he fell for this joke for the third time this morning, gave me a cross look. The joke was wearing thin. Shouldn't you be writing, my roommate quipped. Instead, I noticed my Maltese Freddy under the table. Before I could say, look under there, I was smacked over the head with a frying pan. I woke up to find my roommate stuffing his used underwear in my mouth. Surprisingly, they taste like waffles.
Waffled flavor underwear? Ooh, do they have that at Victoria's Secret? Ooh, can you make waffle cones with it? No, I won't go there. I'm totally obsessed with the idea of taking Trani syrup and putting it in pancake batter. Shaking it up and making pancakes that don't actually have blueberry or strawberry in them, but taste like them. Isn't that chemically disgusting? I'm sure Monsanto will like that. I just need to get the right balance of flavoring and water and pancake and, well, all that crap.
Why don't you just put the fruit in there?
Too easy. Oh, what? You could also do chocolate chip cookie dough and all sorts of other flavors, too. Although they ran out of pumps at World Market. I thought I was going to pick some up and put more flavors on tap at work. I could probably get a pancake maker and keep pancake batter and make pancakes. No. Not to be. I'll do that at home, now that we have lots more shelving. I can put shelving up, and then store all this crap, stuff that I never make, although I used to use the bread maker a lot. I use the rice maker a lot to make rice. You know, rice. And I also make dumplings with it, because they're steamed, and steamy goodness. What? Oh, I should just play Tora's story. Okay, Tora's been waiting patiently all this time. I'm sorry for making you wait. Here's your story.
A century would be enough for my first experiment with the time machine. I emerged into a London thronged with masses beyond all expectation. "Great steampunk outfit," exclaimed a passing group of strangely dressed young people. On engaging discreetly in conversation, I realized that they took me to be in fancy dress, pretending to be exactly what I was. I played this happy chance to the full. These astoundingly compact telephones I could understand as a simple extrapolation from the contraptions of 100 years ago. But tell me, why does everyone in this era walk about in their underwear?
Oh, I know why. I know why. But I won't tell you. Maybe it's a deep bronchitis that I have. That could be good, although it's not coming up bloody and disgusting, like when I had it 11 years ago. That was fun. Oh, what? Oh, hi. Thank you, Tura. Sorry, I got the tangent. They happen. Okay, let's check Facebook. And yes, I still have a face. And they posted there, and they posted there. Blah, 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 whatever. Okay, that's boring. Post-wedding Whataburger. That's a phrase you don't want to see. That's just really kind of... If you're going to a Whataburger after a wedding, you may have made a mistake. A what? Oh, you're waiting for Planet Z. And for me to wrap this thing up. All right. Hold on. I'll just get... Look up the file. Maybe it's over here. Okay, here we go.
She came out of the bathroom in a white cotton robe, holding a pair of red panties in one hand and white in the other. "Which color should I wear today?" she asked. "I don't know," I said, untying the robe's belt and opening. "Let me ask." And I buried my face between her thighs. 4 minutes later, I came up for air. "All I heard was yes, yes, yes," I said. "No colors, though." She smiled, put her hands on my head, and I bent down to ask again. "Whatever the color, she's going to need another shower."
And that's it for the weekly challenge this week. A bunch of 100-word stories about underwear. Wasn't that exciting? It was a bunch of silliness, wasn't it? Well, next week's topic is silliness. That's right. So, thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge this week. Come back. Keep coming back. Keep posting up stories and that kind of stuff and here and there. The show notes are at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. If you're just sitting there on the sidelines and want to be a part of it, I'm sure there's a link there that'll tell you how. And if you're a member of that Second Life group thing, the thing out there, and just let me know. Answer the question. Answer the goddamn question. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.